We've just caught up with Gil Shaham, having just played Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto. Bravo!
Thank you, thank you. I love playing this piece.
What an amazing piece. There's so much to it, and it's such a master of the repertoire, but you put us right in the moment.
Thank you. You know, I have a couple of stories about the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto, but I guess the one I'm thinking of was very recent, when I got to speaking to my 11-year-old niece about this piece. She is not a musician. I mean, she is a musician, but she doesn't play violin. She's a very talented singer, and she plays piano, but she loves the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. And in particular, she loves the tutti in the first movement, where after the violin saws away for about 7 or 8 minutes, the orchestra finally comes in. You know, we start looking for an A major cadence very early on. You know, there's this... You know, and you wanted to resolve to A major, and then and, you know, and you still wanted to resolve, and he doesn't give you that resolution for about 5 minutes. You know, about 200 pages of music. I don't know if it's 200, maybe 20 pages of music, but a long time. And then we achieve A major. And the orchestra plays the tune. My niece loves that part. And my brother says she listens to it about 100 times a day. And I remember being a kid and doing the same thing. I had a recording of the Philadelphia Orchestra with Isaac Stern playing the solo part. And I used to listen to that part over and over and over again. I just loved it. And I think that's how so many of us feel about the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto.
Wow. Well, it is so astonishing because it has such an immediate appeal. It's not unusual for people to burst into applause at the end of the first movement.
No, you're right. That happens often. Yeah, we'll get applause at the end of the first movement. It's just such a masterpiece. And what an amazing journey to go on, you know, from the first note to the last note.
And it's interesting... He also was quoted as talking about the future of music being with French music. Do you see that sensibility in this concerto?
You know, Tchaikovsky was a great master of music, and his knowledge of the music being written at his time and before was encyclopedic. The references in the piece to other violin compositions are subtle but clear, you know, the first movement, the main melody is similar to the rhythm of all the Mozart violin concertos. You know, this kind of syncopated rhythm. The Beethoven concerto clearly looms large. Even those famous trills in the Beethoven violin concerto. And then right in Tchaikovsky does the opposite. He starts out with sort of a semitone, which invokes the minor mode, and then suddenly changes it at the end of the cadenza to, and it's as if the sun comes out. But very, very clearly, you know, referencing the Beethoven violin concerto, or even a melody like, you know, Wieniawski's second concerto was very popular at the Deum. You know, that might be somehow mentioned in... Or a passage like... in the Wieniawski before the beginning of the third movement. So he was clearly a composer who studied many violin concertos, who knew them, and was so fluent with them. And I think this piece qualifies to be called iconic, you know? I think that's a word people sometimes overuse. But writing for the violin before Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto and after, there's a clear point of demarcation, you know? Here is where things changed for violinists.
And how did it change in terms of technique?
Right. The stories were Leopoldauer, who said it was unplayable, but then ended up making it even more difficult. And I guess, unfortunately, one of the most famous stories of the piece was the review, the scathing review that it got at the hands of Hanslick in Vienna. He was upset with the composition. He said, if music has a smell, then this one stinks, or something like that, you know.
Right, right.
I think audiences and musicians have since voiced their disagreement with Mr. Hanslick.
Well, what do you think Tchaikovsky was going for, and why did it elicit such strong reaction, do you think?
You know, I think for Tchaikovsky, the expression and the emotion of the music was just on a different level of anything that was written before. You know, he really felt that music can take you to all extremes of emotion. You know, when you look at the scores and you see these markings of five fortes or you know, six pianissimos, you know, he was out there to push the limits, but mostly of the emotional scope, of the feeling of the music.
In terms of how you approach this piece, are you thinking of it in terms of a journey, a musical journey?
I do, yes. I think it's very similar to storytelling. You know, music is so similar to literature. Of course, there's many dances in the piece, but basically I think it takes you on a journey, and the motives that you hear, you know, transform and evolve the same way a character in a play or in a movie does. And I think that's a big part of what makes, you know, these 30 minutes so satisfying.
I understand sometimes musicians have played this concerto with cuts, sections taken out.
When I first played this piece, I played it with the cuts. We all did. I mean, I think at the time, the vast majority of violinists played the concerto with the cuts, which I think were attributed to Leopoldauer. But very early on, I started playing the complete Tchaikovsky. And nowadays, if I hear the cuts, they really sound like cuts to me. It's very interesting about Tchaikovsky scholarship. You know, if I compare the editions that we have of great masters of the past, you know, we have so much scholarship and such wonderful research and editions of music by, you know, Mozart or Beethoven or Brahms or Bach. And with Tchaikovsky, we really have very, very little. And these cuts that you mentioned, people make them in so many other of Tchaikovsky's works, in the Rococo variations. The cellists often make cuts in the violin piece, Waltz Scherzo. And I think also in the symphonies, if you look at different editions, as in the violin concerto, if you look at different editions of the scores, you have wide discrepancies. You know, passages that are marked forte in one score are marked piano in another score. Passages that are marked legato in one score are marked staccato. So we really don't know how to play it. And it's interesting that in the past, I think now it's changing, but in the past, people didn't feel that Tchaikovsky's music needed that kind of research or scholarship, maybe because they felt it was so popular and so accessible and it would just take care of itself, something like that.
Wow, great. Thank you so much, Gil Shaham.
Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.